Episode 1. Today marks the beginning of my 12th annual mini-series dedicated to the Catholic Church's beautiful teaching on the dignity of every human life. Every Sunday in October during Respect for Life Month during the past 12 years, I have dedicated all of my Sunday sermons to preaching about the good news of the beautiful moral teaching given to us by Almighty God. And I hope and pray that over the course of these 12 years on preaching for life, that they have softened hearts and changed minds. I hope and pray that over the course of 12 years, these pro-life reflections have opened eyes to see and ears to hear the beauty of God's plan for us. You know, as preachers, we all want to have the success of Jonah. You remember when Jonah went to Nineveh and preached repentance? The king and all the members of Nineveh tore their garments and put on sackcloth and ashes and repented. A whole city repented, and God had mercy upon them. This is what we all want as preachers. Sometimes, however, most of us are more like the great prophets and priests of the Bible. Like Elijah, when Elijah defeated the great enemy by destroying the 450 prophets of Baal, they didn't like that because they liked their sinful life, and so Jezebel chased Elijah into the desert. When Jeremiah preached the good news that Jesus had to bring them, they threw him into a well. When John the Baptist denounced Herod's invalid and immoral marriage to Herodias, they chopped off his head. When St. Paul preached the good news about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, they beat him, stoned him, scourged him, left him for dead, threw him into prison, and eventually chopped off his head. As a preacher, we all want the success of Jonah. We want the whole city to be converted by our preaching. But most of our experience is like those of the other characters of the Bible. But we hope and pray for that Jonah experience. But whatever happens to us personally, it doesn't matter. In season and out of season, whether popular or unpopular, whether convenient or inconvenient, our vocation is to preach about the beautiful plan God has for us and the dignity of each and every human person. Today, in this first episode of our four-part pro-life mini-series, we're going to talk about children. I would like to talk about, first of all, bringing our children to Jesus, and two, a childlike attitude. First, bringing our children to Jesus. Have you been to those parishes, you know, some parishes I've seen where there's a moment and they ritualize this where all the children come forward? And then after the children come forward, they send them out to color or to play or to sing a song. I wonder if that is opposed to the biblical teaching. It seems to me, in my humble opinion, that that is opposed to the biblical teaching. In today's gospel, they were bringing children to Jesus. And the disciples, in their very wisdom and scholarly opinion, sent them away from Jesus. And Jesus got very upset. And he said, "Let the children come
to me, do not prevent children from coming to me. Seems to me that Jesus is here, not someplace else. He is here in a particular way. His body, blood, soul, and divinity. And so we don't prevent our children from coming to Jesus. I would like to thank all of you for bringing your children to church. Thank you very much for doing that. This seems to be in harmony with the biblical teaching. I know you'd rather leave them at home, right? You'd rather say, oh my goodness, I haven't got anything out of Mass for the past 15, 20 years. It's okay. It's all right. We are so grateful for bringing your children to church. This is in harmony with the biblical teaching. These are the most precious members of God's family. We need their prayers. We need to hear their cries. They listen. I talk to the children all the time. They listen. They remember what we talk about. And their strong faith is inspiring to us. So I encourage you, keep bringing your children to Jesus. How sad it is when children say to me, well, they don't go to church every Sunday. That's sad, isn't it? Parents are willing to bring their children to school every day, but they're not willing to bring them to the source of wisdom and knowledge once a week in church. This is a grave moral obligation to parents to bring their children to Jesus and not to prevent their children from coming to Jesus every single Sunday. We also can reflect on baptism for a moment, and sometimes a parishioner will say, oh, Father, we need to baptize our child right away. And I'm like, okay, great. Let's baptize your child right away. And then we'll fill out the paperwork, and I'll say, how old is your child? Seven. 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 How old is your child? Five. Five. 5 months? No, 5 years. How sad. How sad. 5 years without being a child of God. 5 years you have prevented your child from coming to Jesus and from being embraced by him and his family and being blessed by him in the waters of baptism. How sad. Thank you. Thank you. I know many parents that I see this morning. Thank you so much for bringing your child to Jesus at an early age. Thanks be to God that you did not prevent your child from coming to Jesus in the sacrament of baptism. That's inspiring. We know that there are other ways of preventing children from coming to Jesus. We know that, unfortunately, in today's world, we know about the evil of abortion and how sad it is that these children are not able to be brought to Jesus in baptism, in First Communion. He had so much planned for them. And yet, these parents prevented their child from coming to Jesus by the ultimate act of killing their child. We know that a fruit of this death mentality, and we've talked about it many times here before, but it bears repeating today as we reflect on this, of course, is the evil of contraception and how prevalent this evil is today. And contraception just speaks of this prevention of bringing children to Jesus. And God wants all these little children to come to him. All these beautiful new souls to come into the world and to become future saints. And because of parents' selfishness, they use contraception and prevent their child from coming to Jesus, from even being conceived. So much they prevent it. It is worth noting that in today's gospel, Jesus gives us what his mood is. That doesn't happen very often in sacred scripture. What is Jesus' mood when they prevented children from coming to him? It says he was indignant. That's a strong word. I looked it up. In my Webster's Ninth New Collegiate Dictionary, it says that indignant means anger aroused by something unjust. Anger aroused by something unjust. Jesus is indignant when we do not bring our children to him, or when we even prevent them from being conceived. He is indignant over this. This leads me, this going back and forth between allowing our children to come to Jesus and those who prevent their children from coming to Jesus, this leads me into the second part of today's gospel that I want to talk about, which is a childlike attitude. For 4 days, we have been hearing about children. On October the 1st, on the Feast of St. Therese of the Child Jesus, we heard this gospel from Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 4. Who is of greatest importance in the kingdom of God? And Jesus called a child over, and he stood them in their midst, and he said to them, I assure you, unless you change and become like a child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever makes himself lowly, becoming like this child, is of greatest importance in the kingdom of heaven. On October the 2nd, on the Feast of the Guardian Angels, we read this gospel again. And Jesus added that their guardian angels are constantly looking on the face of the Father. Don't hurt these little ones. Then yesterday in the morning, we heard from Luke's gospel, chapter 10, verse 21. And Jesus said yesterday morning, what you have hidden from the learned and the clever, you have revealed to the childlike. And because I have a really thick skull and the Lord needs to keep repeating it over and over and over again until I get it, we heard in today's gospel from Mark chapter 10, verse 15, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it. The Lord is just pounding into my brain because it's thick. For 4 days, it's all about children. It's all about a childlike attitude. I'm very blessed right now because in my own natural family, my siblings, my one sister and two brothers, are starting to have children and start their own families. So currently right now, and hopefully it will change soon, but right now I have two nephews and one niece. And those of you who have children and grandchildren know the important characteristics of children. This is just a little random list that I came up with. Children have confidence that you'll take care of them. You know, my little nephew doesn't get up in the morning and go, oh, I wonder where I'm going to get my next meal from. I wonder where I'm going to find food. I wonder if I'll have clothes to wear today. I wonder if I'll have heat in my house. They don't worry about any of that. They have total confidence that their parents will take care of them. My nephews and my niece, they have trust. Trust. They never doubt. And they believe everything I tell them. Little Holden James believes everything I tell him. He never questions it. He never doubts it. He believes it as if it were the gospel truth. Another thing that I noticed about children is they get really excited, and then when I go to visit them, especially my oldest nephew, he just shakes with excitement when I come. He can hardly contain himself, and my sister goes, oh my goodness, calm down, child. And he's just so excited to see me that he's just shaking.
He's filled with that youthful enthusiasm and joy for living. He loves with his whole heart, without any conditions or any strings attached. And they don't know fear, do they? They don't know fear. Like, for example, when they're learning to walk. When they're learning to walk, they don't know fear. And they come to you just because you ask them to come. So, when they're learning to walk, I can say to them, come on, come on, and they come. And as they're starting to learn to walk, what do? Boom, down they go and they hit the floor. Now, because we live in Minnesota and we know that the women are strong and the men are good looking, we know that when my niece falls down learning to walk and bangs her head and gets bruises on all over her face, she doesn't cry. Oh, no. She gets right back up and starts walking towards you again, even though you know she's going to fall. The boys are not so strong. They fall down. They cry immediately. Not so willing to get back up the second time. And the last thing that I wrote down is that they love to receive gifts. They love to get gifts. They love when I bring presents. They haven't earned them. They haven't taken out the garbage. They're too young. They haven't made their bed. They're too young. They haven't helped with the dishes or swept the floor. They haven't done anything. They just love to receive gifts. They don't have anything for you, but they love to receive. Is this your attitude? Is this your childlike attitude? Or is it more like a teenager attitude? Now, this is not the attitude of each and every teenager. This is just a teenage attitude. I know a lot of teenagers that have a childlike spirituality, and I know a lot of adults that have a teenage spirituality. A teenage spirituality says, you can't tell me what to do. You can't make me. You say black, I say white. You say yes, I say no. That's a teenage mentality. It seems to me that most people come and listen to these beautiful teachings of the Catholic Church on the dignity of human life with a teenage mentality. You can't tell me what to do. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. I'm going to do the opposite of what you tell me to do. It seems essential to me to have a childlike attitude when we come to this pro-life reflections. Is that your attitude? One of a child? I mean, do you get excited and start to shake like I do when you get to talk about the beautiful church teaching on the dignity of every human life in October? I do. I get excited like a child. I can't wait. Is that your attitude? Do you have an attitude of receptivity? Are you ready to receive the gifts of the church's beautiful teaching with open arms? And will you get back up if you fall? Even though you've fallen many times and not obeyed and been willfully disobedient of the church's teaching, are you willing to make a confession to a priest and to get back up after many bruises and try again? And most importantly, are you willing to trust and believe that whatever Holy Mother Church tells you is for our good? Are you willing to trust and to believe Holy Mother Church without doubting? For she is a really awesome mother, always looking out for your good. Is our attitude a childlike attitude? Excited, receptive, trusting, and believing. For whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child
cannot enter it.
But whoever makes himself lowly, becoming like a child, will be called the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.